Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Bible says in Hebrews 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and what? Are you in this place? Those of you in the back, please pay attention. What does that mean? It means the way he responded in Bible days is the way he would respond today. And that's great. Meaning you don't have to guess what God thinks about the situation. Find out what he thought about it in the Bible. That's exactly what he thinks about it now. He doesn't change. So if he was happy about it in the days of Samuel, he'll be happy about it now. He was happy about it in the days of Peter, Paul, he'll be happy about it now. That means if God praised someone for doing something in those days, and then I do the same thing today, he would praise me too. And you know, God praises people. I was thinking about it. Look at Job. God tells Satan, there is none like Job in all the earth. You know, we think there is none like you in all the earth to God. Now he looks at this man, Job, and says, there is none like this man. Can God say that about you? You think about it. He's telling Satan. He said, have you checked him? Have you seen that there's nobody like this guy? Amazing. So what did Job do? Maybe if we did what he did, praise the Lord, we'd have the same commendation from God. Jesus talked about John the Baptist. He said, of all men born of women, none is greater than John. Meaning that John, to Jesus and God, was greater than Elijah, greater than Moses, greater than Abraham. Think about it. But the guy didn't have money. Where was he? In the wilderness. But Jesus gave that commendation. He said, none is greater than him. But those of us born in the kingdom, praise the Lord. You see, he saved the best for you. So it makes my life easy. Christianity is so wonderful. Because at every point, you know the mind of God. You don't have to go to a shrine. Are you in this place? He doesn't have to appear to you in a dream. You can find out how did he respond in the days of Samuel to this thing. That's how he responds right now. Praise the Lord. And one of the most important things you note as a Christian, when someone's saying, you know, what's my purpose? What's my purpose? At least the first one we know is that God created all things for his pleasure. That means he created you to make him happy. Do you understand? He wanted to look at you and smile. He wanted to look at you and say, this is the best. Revelations 4 verse 11. Let's look at it. Are you in this place? Revelations 4 verse 11. Quickly now. He says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were. You know the song. But here's the point. He said he created all things for his pleasure. So at least that fundamental one you should be doing. You should be looking at your life and be happy about it. And we see that he does. He looked at Job's life and he was happy. He called Moses and Samuel one of the best prophets. He talked about Jesus, in whom I am well pleased. Are you seeing that? So you should be pleased with your life. And one of the things that I learned in this month of faith is that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And impossible is such a strong word. It means there is no negotiation. There is none. There is nothing you can offer him without faith. You know, there are people that cannot be pleased. Are you listening to me? Can you hear me? There are people that cannot be pleased. Have you seen people like that? Nothing you do, especially some bosses, nothing you do would ever please them. Or some lecturers. You come early, you came too early. You come late, you came late. You came on time, what's your problem? Now he's saying that the man who doesn't have faith is that way to God. He's not pleased with your life. There's nothing you do that will be pleasing to him. But the good news is, what PB was sharing, every Christian has faith. So fundamentally, as you are, you please God. Are you in this place? So just by being a Christian, you're pleasing to God. But then it doesn't stop there. You didn't just become a Christian and you're standing in one place. You're living that life. And so to live a life that God is pleased with, you need faith. You need to walk by faith. Praise the Lord. Paul said we walk by faith, not by sight. And what is faith? Faith comes by hearing the word. That means you have to do the word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. But then we took it a top notch higher last week. We said you can move from just pleasing God to getting God to be so impressed with your life. Are you in this place? So impressed. So shocked. So excited. Praise the Lord. God looks at you and says, this guy just bust my brain. Beyond pleasing, he's so excited about you. And because he doesn't change, all we need to do is to find out who was he so impressed by? What did they do? If we do the same thing, he'll be impressed with us also. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And the Bible tells us, we learned that last week, that Jesus marveled at the faith of the centurion. Do you remember? He marveled. You know what marvel is? Marvel is surprise. Amazingly surprised. Someone's faith shook God. Think about it. So that's beyond pleasing him. That's making God, you know, letting God be marveled with your life. Everything you do is just marvelous to him. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so that's the first one. But there's another instance in the Bible. Pay attention to me. There's another instance in the Bible where Jesus also marveled. Two. The first one, he marveled because the centurion had so much faith, and we'll get to that. But it's the second time he marveled also. What, you know, just think about it ordinarily. What could make God marvel? Is it not God? Is it not a heaven place? Do you understand? Let me give you an example. Let's say you miss the match. You slept off. And then you wake up, and of course, you don't need to ask. By the time you check WhatsApp status, you see the scores. Are you in this place? So you know who won. But you didn't watch the match, so you want to watch it again. I don't think you'll be marveled by the scores. Right? Except you want to pretend. You won't be. You know. You don't know how this one is playing that them still lose. You'll be marveled. So it's something to behold that God, who is ahead of us in time and place, can be marveled. That someone can do something that will shock him. Praise the Lord. And I remember he was talking to the children of Israel and he said they had done something that did not even enter his mind. That one was very bad. They started sacrificing their children. He said, it didn't even enter my mind to ask you of this kind of thing. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 6 verse 1. Pay attention now. We'll look at every verse. So I'll be reading from 1 to probably 9. So I want you to follow me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, pay attention. Don't be distracted. This is your moment. Verse 1. And he went out from thence, that's Jesus, and came into his own country. And his disciples follow him. So he traveled to his own place. And when the Sabbath days was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. So he went to his own country, entered the synagogue, and started teaching on the Sabbath. And many, hearing him, were astonished, saying, from whence had this man these things? He says, and what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? So he's teaching. Are you in this place? They are listening to him, and they're like, when did this one start? Do you understand? What's all these things we are hearing about the miracles? Verse 3. Is not this the carpenter? So Jesus was a carpenter. The son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judah. And see, that's the problem. See, finish. They know what he was doing. They know the names of all his brothers and sisters. And are not his sisters here with us? And they were what? Come on, they were what? People saw Jesus and they were offended. Think about it. So seeing him is not enough. You must believe. Are you seeing that? What did he do that made them angry? He didn't steal their money. He was only doing good. And they were angry at him. Why? Because they know him. Imagine that boy that used to ask his uncle for urgent 2K, goes to university, comes back and says, I'm a success. I'm so rich. I'm the richest person in the world. The uncle say, on top urgent 2K. What's happening? The uncle has seen him finish. Praise the Lord. So that's the problem here. Let's continue. Verse 5. It says, and he could dare do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. He said, Jesus could not do any mighty work. Jesus, that miracle working man, went to his own country and he could not do anything. Not he would not do. I listen to this. He didn't say he would not do, meaning that he said, I'm not going to do it. No, he could not, meaning he tried. Nothing happened. Nothing. Told the blind guy, open. Nothing. Told the lame guy, walk. Say, if I could walk, would I be here like this? He said, you only heal. Go back to verse 5. He says, and he laid his hands upon a few sick folk. Right? People with maybe catarrh, cough, and healed them. The one that was lame refused to go. Jesus, think about it. Okay, so verse 6 now. And he what? They shocked him. This is the second place where the Bible says Jesus what? Marveled. They marveled because of what? Their unbelief. Interestingly, the two times Jesus marveled, it had to do with faith. The first person expressing great faith. The second people expressing no faith. He marveled. And you know, praise the Lord. Can we put off this fan? Can someone put this off? Just quickly. All right. And you can imagine how Jesus ministered to the sick. Maybe that's why they did not believe. Because he was too simple. I remember Naaman went to Elisha. And he stood outside Elisha's house. And Elisha didn't even come out to see him. He just said, go and walk deep 7 times in the River Jordan. He didn't even see the guy. So just go. He sent his message. Praise the Lord. Imagine traveling all the way from one country to another to stand at the door and told to go and have your bath. The Bible says Naaman was so upset. He was a leper. He was so upset, he was going back. And one of his servants came and said, Master, if the man of God had told you to do something hard, would you not have done it? Now, this is simple. Go ahead and do it. And it's such an example of how people relate with God. They think it has to be hard. By the time they now bring 2 doves, bathed in River Niger, wear white for 7 days, for sure they know it will happen. They think God needs their efforts to do something. He doesn't. How did Jesus minister to the sick? Go to Matthew 8, verse 16. He says, and when the even was come, they brought unto him many devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were what? Sick. That's how he ministered. He spoke. Do you understand? He didn't pour holy water on them. He just said, get up. So if you were lame for many years and a man comes and says, get up, there are 2 responses. You think he's a joker. He just wants to insult you. Does he not have eyes? Does he not see what's happening with you? Or you act on the word. You ignore your situation. Ignore the duration. Are you in this place? In the presence of God's word, all of those things become irrelevant. It doesn't matter how long you've had that problem. It doesn't matter the seriousness of the problem. Once God's word comes, you act on the word. Are you in this place? So Jesus would say, get up and walk. That guy had been sick for 38 years. And Jesus knew. But in the presence of the word, it doesn't matter the time. The Bible says, a day is as 1,000 years to God. Meaning that duration means what? Nothing. If a day is 1,000 years, what is 38 years? Nanoseconds mean nothing to God. So imagine why these people would have had an issue. Remember, they were telling Jesus his history. They were telling him where he came from. They knew his brothers. They knew his mother. They called her name. They knew his sisters. And they said, can you help us? So you can imagine when he tells someone who has been sick for some years, they'll say, do you know my problem? Do you know where I'm coming from? But that's not how you act on God's word. You want to be pleasing to him, you take him at his word. Are you in this place? You take him at his word. You don't ask questions. Do you know how long? You think, is this easy? Is it by what you say? Do you know that someone asked that useless question? And an angel was so angry, he made a man dumb. That same man who used to ask and question God, he shut it. Let me show you. Luke 1. I said, God never changes. If he was upset that instead of acting on the word, they were asking useless questions, he's not pleased right now. When the word comes to you and you're saying, do you know my situation? He's not pleased with that response. He doesn't change. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you in this place? Luke 1 verse 18. What happened? A whole priest called Zechariah had a visitation from an angel. Now what happened with this man? His wife was barren and she was old. She had no child. And he was praying. Praise the Lord. Pay attention to this. I want to show you how people are. You see, the word of God exposes everything. He was praying. And the Bible says, while he was praying, an angel appeared to him. And the angel said, Zechariah, your prayers have been heard. It says your wife would have a son. What does that mean? It means that Zechariah was praying for his wife to have a child. But when the word came, are you in this place? You know what Zechariah said? He said, how can these things be? If I don't read from the TPT, because that tells you exactly how he responded. He said, that's verse 18. Zechariah asked the angel, how do you expect me to believe this? I am an old man, and my wife is too old to give me a child. What sign can you give me to prove this will happen? The man that was praying for it. There are people that can be praying for something, praying. The answer comes, they say, how do you expect me to believe this? I cannot believe my eyes. I don't believe it. That's how people are. So some people have been struggling with an issue for a very long time. They don't want a change. If the change comes, if a door opens, they will enter. Say, not me. But I'm saying that you take God at his word. You don't ask questions. When the word of God comes, you don't consider the factors. Your eyes set on the word. The Bible says, Abraham staggered not. He says, he didn't consider his body now dead. Or the deadness. Let me tell you the seriousness of Abraham's situation. You know, if you've not paid your rent and it has expired, the only time you might feel very pressed is when your landlord calls you. Are you in this place? If he doesn't call you, you are fine. Right? When he calls, the tension comes. So once in a while, you can be fine. Abraham, the Bible says, his body was now dead. Meaning that he carried with him the thing that was reminding him that it is too late. But he did not consider it. Because God had spoken the word. Yes. Not just that, his wife was barren. So every time he woke up, he saw his body dead. He saw his wife's womb dead. But he says he believed in the God that raises the dead. Are you in this place? That's what the Bible says. That's where he started. He said he believes in the God that quickens the dead, which be not as though they are. So every time he saw his body was dead, he said, I serve a God that can give life to the dead. So in the presence of God's word, forget how long this situation has been. Are you in this place? Forget who you are. Do we know your village people, your compound name? Forget all of that. He makes all things new. And he does not need the permission of man to do it. Just your faith. Are you in this place? So one of the things you know is not pleasing to God is when the word comes to you and you're asking questions. That's doubt. You're asking questions. Or you say, do you know how many people have told me this thing? I said, it doesn't change. If he wasn't pleased then, he's not pleased now. When you find out, you change. You change the way you respond to the word. Praise the Lord. The faith that we have received does not ask questions, you know. Do you know? Let me show you. Romans 10. Romans 10 verse 6. Today I want to break that stronghold that I've held some people bound. The stronghold of, do you know how many people have told me this thing? Do you know how many times we have heard it? Do you know how many prophets have come on my life? Yes, they came. You did not mix it with faith. That's why it did not work. Now stop the questions. Believe in God. Romans 10 verse 6. It says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. He said the righteousness. Faith makes things right. If things were going wrong in your life, faith will make it right. But it says, for faith to make it right, don't ask useless questions. Like, how will it happen? Will God come down from heaven and help me? Don't ask questions. Just accept the word. Just accept the word. He doesn't have to do things the way you think. Are you in this place? He also does not have to use the person you expect him to use. He is not limited by your limitations. So just accept the word. Praise the Lord. So first and first, this month of faith, learn to act on God's word. Take him at his word. Don't ask useless questions. Forget the old. Don't say things like, now my Christian life is okay, but only God knows. Do you know that a few years ago I was in the church, I was vibrant? Do you know that in fact I was preaching? Do you know? You're asking questions. No. Now you are here. The path of the just is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter. Take him at that word. Don't ask questions. Are you in this place? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Take him at his word. Don't ask, where will the food come from? This is a God that sent a bear to feed a man. He might tell people to help you. If they refuse, he is not limited. Are you in this place? I want to tell you the, the radicality of God's ability to provide. He called bread from heaven. Are you in this place? He rained down bread from heaven. So forget about how will it happen. How will he do it? Do you expect me to believe this? Don't be like Zechariah. You know what Angel Gabriel did? He made a man dumb. That's how displeasing it is to those in heaven when you question what God can do. Because this is a God that made everything. You know what he asked Sarah? He said, is anything too hard for the Lord? Do you know he asked Sarah that? The Bible says that he went to Abraham. Let's look at it. Genesis 18. I'd like you to see that God said such a thing. Genesis 18. Verse 13. Praise the Lord. Yes. If you're here, say, I'm here. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Because God was talking with Abraham. Are you in this place? And he said, listen, at the time of life, your wife will give birth to a child. Do you understand? And Sarah was not there, but she was listening. Like some people listen to their parents' conversations. Praise the Lord. So she was listening. And when God told Abraham that, where she was, she laughed. He said, me that I'm old and my husband is old. And when she laughed, God then asked, go back to that verse 13. The Lord said, he didn't talk to her. Do you understand? Because she's not there. She's hiding at the back. So he asked Abraham, why is your wife laughing? So you can imagine in a man. And Bible says, she said, I didn't laugh. And God said, no, you did. Then he said in verse 14, this is God talking. It's not man, it's God. He's asking, is anything too hard for the Lord? In other words, don't you know what I can do? What can be too hard? This is a God that made people see water and think it was blood. Listen to me. Don't lose me now. This is the God that delivered people from prison. Are you in this place? The Bible says the soldiers were standing in front of the prison jail, the jail room. The angels came, took the apostles. Are you in this place? Took them out of the prison. took them to the temple, said, go and be preaching. The soldiers were still there. They didn't sleep off. They didn't faint. Their eyes were open. They didn't see when it happened. In the morning, they opened the prison. They saw no. See what God can do. They were not blind. Are you in this place? Is anything too hard for the Lord? What can he not do with your life? Christ is your redemption. Say, Christ is my redemption. Talking to someone here. You might have made a mistake. And you think now everybody is looking at that mistake and judging you. I said, this is a God. That people left prison and the soldiers, their eyes were open, they did not see them. That's what God can do to that mistake. In mercy, praise the Lord. So when God's word comes to you, take it. Are you in this place? Act on the word. If he says, get up, get up. Don't say, but do you know my back pain? No, he's not pleased with that. He doesn't change. He doesn't like it. If God is going to marvel about your life, it should be for good things. Not the terrible ones. If he says you're a success, say I'm a success. Praise the Lord. If he says you're making progress, say I'm making progress. Don't say, how can you say that? 2019, I was in a better place than now. No. No. The ways of God are not the ways of man. Remember Joseph? In the eyes of men, he was regressing. He moved from being the loved son of his father to a houseboy. That's terrible. But it gets worse. From a houseboy to a prisoner. That's worse. But as he was going back, he was getting closer to the palace. Are you seeing that? So in the eyes of men, he was regressing. But actually, God was facing this way. He was making progress. Take God at his word. Praise the Lord. Now, one big one before we go. I said, Jesus marveled that they were unbelieving. They did not believe. But that's terrible. And we have learned not to question God. Are you in this place? I said, an angel was so displeased. There's another one. Prophet Elisha. The kingdom had been experiencing famine. And so the king went to meet Elisha. I said, look, this thing is from God. Fix it. And Elisha prophesied. He said, by this time tomorrow, everything will be fine. Think about it. He says, by this time tomorrow, things will be great. There was someone standing there. And he said, even though God opened windows in heaven, can this be so? You know what Elisha said? I said, God doesn't like useless questions. Those questions question his ability. You're acting as though he's a man. The man said, if God, think about the audacity. If God made windows in heaven, can it happen? You know what Elisha said? He said, you will see it, but you will not partake of it. Sure enough, the next day, everything became cool. The man was standing by the gate. The people crushed him. The angel was so upset at unbelief, he made a man dumb. The prophet was so upset at unbelief, a man lost his life. I want to tell you that unbelief is a serious thing. The Bible says unbelief is that sin that easily besets the Christian. And how do you express unbelief? By useless questions. When those questions come to your mind, you cast them out. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Are you in this place? Because you were created for his pleasure. So you must have faith in him, believing in him. That's your destiny, to please God always. And let's learn from a man that pleased him so. Beyond pleasing him, he was so impressed. You know the story we learned last week? Luke 7, the centurion. Let me tell you a bit of the story, and I'll tell you what's so remarkable about that story. And I hope you get it. Yes, you will get it. The man asked the elders to go and call Jesus, that his servant was near death. He was so sick. And Jesus trekked from where he was. Do you understand? There was no cab. So he trekked. And the Bible says, pay attention to this. This will bless you so. I hope you'll get it. The Bible says, Jesus was now close to the man's house. Meaning that at this point, it would have cost him nothing to get to the house. But then the man sends his friends to meet Jesus and says, Master, don't trouble yourself. He says, I'm a man under authority. I also have people under me. When I tell this person go, he goes. In other words, only your word is enough. You don't have to be here. Just say, healed, the guy will be healed. And the Bible says, Jesus marveled at it. Meaning that, Jesus could have been there himself. You know, it's one thing to take God at his word, especially now, when he's not appearing to you. Do you understand? When he cannot come and visit your house as a human form. Do you understand? So you can take him at his word. It's another thing to have options. For some of you here, if someone said, I want to give you an option. Let Jesus visit you every morning, supernaturally, and tell you the future, or read your Bible. So people say, is that an option? My Lord and my God, I want him close. But you know that is not the best answer. Jesus said the man choosing his word over his appearance was the best option. What does that tell you? It means we are living in better days than the apostles. They saw him. They walked with him. But just listen, it's not about seeing me. If you can take the word, that's the best option. He marveled at the man's faith. Meaning that, listen, you can abandon your life on the word. He doesn't need to appear to you and say you're healed. If you can take the word, that's the best option. Look at how Jesus will be impressed with your life. That you did not need a visitation. You did not need a vision. His word was enough for you. You marvel at your life. That's a life that is impressive to God. That's the life he expects you to live. So don't wish for the days of the apostles. You say, oh, why can't Jesus appear to me? No, he already told you the best option. Luke 7 verse 6. Okay. Go to verse 9. You're already there. Verse 9. It says, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Hey, listen to me. Ordinarily, shouldn't Jesus have been upset? I already walked this distance and you're telling me to go back. Shouldn't he be upset? That he said, it's that you don't want to see me. That you're saying my word is enough. But I want to tell you how God thinks. His word is greater. Yeah. Are you seeing that? His word is greater. So as long as I have the word, I have the greatest. I have the best. Are you seeing that? As long as my heart is captured by the word, I'm living a life that's impressive with God. I don't need any vision. So we were created for his pleasure. We can take it a top notch. And live to impress him always. Oh, look at you. Maybe right now, there's no, in your mind, source of extra income. But you don't need to see the paperwork or the plans. The Lord is your shepherd. Are you seeing that? The Lord is your shepherd. Do you, listen. You know, let me end with this. I love God's word. Because we can tell how God is responding in heaven. Just like in Luke 16, it tells us how hell is like. Now we know that if you had options, are you in this place? And you chose the word, in heaven he's celebrating you. But this is not just for the Bible. Bring it to today. Maybe things seem a bit more expensive. Are you in this place? Or maybe in your family, it seems like there is chaos. But you know something you can do. That in heaven you're being celebrated. God is super impressed with your response. Taking him at his word. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Not everywhere red. You know, if you're lying down in green pastures, what will you see in your left? Green. Right? Green. You wake up? Green. Take him at his word. Nothing is too hard. Nothing is too hard. Nothing is too hard. Don't be among those who say things like, you know how long this has been? No. Let me tell you something. Jesus transformed destinies in a split second. I told you about the blind man Bartimaeus. How his destiny changed. He could have died a blind man. There are people like that. They die a beggar. When people want to reference, they say, that beggar in that street, he don't die, yo. That's their reference. He could have died a blind man until he met Jesus. And he stopped being blind. Became a man, that's all. He can change destinies in a second. He can change lives in a second. All you have to do is what? Act on the word. Don't ask questions. The word is enough. Say, the word is enough. Say, nothing is too hard for my God. Say, impossibility is nothing. Where my God is. Say, it doesn't matter the circumstance. It doesn't matter the challenge. It doesn't matter how long. In the presence of the word, they are irrelevant. And I'm walking in purpose. I'm making progress. I'm moving forward. I'm a success. The Lord is my shepherd. Nothing is too good for me. In my going now, there is progress. In my coming in, there is progress. I do not want. I have all that I need. Say glory. Go ahead and speak in other tongues. Speak in other tongues and thank him. You know, one of the themes that you see throughout the word of God is the Bible says that God knows how to deliver the righteous when he needs to. And one of the things we see in the realm of the spirit is that every time a calamity, trouble was about to come upon the earth, the first thing God did was to mark the righteous ones. That was always the first thing. So that they are not consumed with the problem. Remember, before that spirit of death walked through Egypt, the people of God already had their doors marked before it happened. So you might not see it right now. But the Bible says that Christ is your sanctification. You have been sanctified from the darkness in this world, from the problems in this world, from the chaos in this world. Realize where you are, where God has placed you, and don't begin to commune with those in darkness. No, you're different. It doesn't matter the hardship, it doesn't matter the chaos. Christ is your sanctification. You have been sanctified from it. If the world gets darker, you shine brighter. Hallelujah. So always remember this. The destruction that happens in the world is not for you. The dissolution of the wicked is not for you. Don't say, can't you see what's happening to us? Who is us? You are not part of the us. You are the one that is separated. So that people will see that even though there is chaos, you are flourishing. And then they will ask the God that you serve. But it matters how you think. Don't say, don't ask questions. That's the theme of today's service. Don't say, how would God do it? He has already done it. Just walk in that reality. Amen, amen, amen.